We would like to welcome our radio audience to the Sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church here at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour, Indiana. Here at Trinity United Methodist Church, we strive to be Christ's hands, feet, and heart in our community. We also invite you to join us Sunday mornings for worship service at 10 a.m. You can also watch our worship service and our Spirit 23 devotions on YouTube. And please join us on May 17th for our community meal with potato casserole and pancakes. Also, Mike with Fee Phones will be here.
Free phones.
Apologize for that. Didn't know if that was the name of a group or... But it's Mike with Free Phones will be here. We would like to wish all mothers a happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. In a few moments, Pastor Angel Armstrong is going to be presenting her morning message, Believing and Belonging. And then we're going to hear our own group called Proof singing a Mother's Day tribute song called My Mother's Bible. But before that, we are going to get a foundation going with some scripture, and it is from John 10, verses 22 through 30. And that, for the convenience of anybody scrambling to find it, is on page 1063 in your pew Bible. John 10, 22 to 30. The unbelief of the Jews. Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you did not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word. And this is Proof, and we are wishing all mothers a happy Mother's Day today. Mark and I especially would like to lift up both of our moms. His is in heaven and my mom's not here. As we jump into this very quick song. As a dear and precious book, though it's worn and faded now, which recalls the happy days of long ago. When I stood at mother's knee with her hand upon my brow, and I heard her voice in gentle tones and low. Blessed book, precious book, on those dear old tears and leaves I love to look. Thou art sweeter day by day as I walk the narrow way that leads at last to that bright home above. As she read the stories o'er of those great women of old, of Martha, Ruth, and Lois, and their ways. Holy Mary, oh so great, and oh so much she gave, also dear to us in all our living days. Blessed book, precious book, on those dear old tears and leaves I love to look. Thou art sweeter day by day as I walk the narrow way that leads at last to that bright home above. Then she read of Jesus' love as He blessed the children dear, how He suffered, bled, and died upon the tree. Of His living glory care, then she dried my dying tears, what she kisses, and she said it was for me. Blessed book, precious book, all thy dear old tears and leaves I love to look. Thou art sweeter day by day as I walk the narrow way that leads at last to that bright home above. Well, those days are past and gone, but their memory lingers
world and yet you can't get back. And I seek to do thy will as my mother taught me then. And in heaven's home with mom was going to stay. Blessed book, precious book, precious book. All thy dear old tears and leaves I love to look. Thou art clear day by day as I walk the narrow way that leads at last to that bright home above.
You can get arrested for speeding with that song. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. Thank you, Proof, very much. Who else can remember your mother or another woman seeding into your life with wisdom and with prayers? Thank God for the mothers who did do such. Today, we are talking about Jesus, his ministry, and the temple that Solomon built. Jesus is taking a walk today. Imagine that. It is cold and wintry. It is December. And he is walking. He's out for a stroll on Solomon's portico, otherwise called Solomon's colonnade. Solomon's colonnade is a significant, amazing part of architecture on the east side of the temple. It is part of the original plan to the temple. The temple was built because at that time they believed they needed a house to put God in until Christ Jesus tore the veil, giving us direct access to God. This amazingly beautiful temple was planned for a long time. David, we all remember David, the man after God's own heart, the warrior, collected most of the stones and the precious gold and metal and beautiful ornate dishes and decorations for this temple. But he was not allowed to build it, for he had blood on his hands. So the Lord God allowed Solomon, in his wisdom, in his reign of peace, to build an amazing temple where people of all kinds could worship. They had inner gates and outer gates. They had the Holy of Holies. They had a place where the men could come, where the women could come, where even the servants could come and worship their God. This time of year for Jerusalem was very much like our 4th of July. It is a time to have a festival of dedication, better known as Hanukkah. Sort of a 4th of July for the Jewish people who were gathered, who recall the liberation of the temple by Judas Maccabees almost 200 years before Jesus takes this chilly stroll. The Maccabees are in the Catholic Bible, and they were wars fought for Christianity. Judas Maccabees, 200 years before the time of Jesus, liberated the people, and the people were looking forward to another warrior who would liberate them, who would free them, who would be majestic and powerful. But rather than that warrior, rather than that king, rather than the powerful majesty, a babe, God incarnate, came to show us the way. And we all know that he came as this babe so that he could grow and so that he could understand all the pain that we go through in our lifetime. Judas violently drove out the pagan worshipers who had desecrated the altar and made a mockery of our God's ways. This bit of history is not lost on Jesus or on those who closely follow him in his walk. He does not get very far before the questions begin to fly. Let me quickly say, at this point, we Christians need to be very careful in telling the old stories not to make the Jewish people the proverbial whipping boys of Jesus' death. Because in truth, the way that our Lord lived his life, the rebel that he was, someone was bound to kill him. I'm not so sure that if he was walking among us today, that somebody wouldn't rise up and kill him. Because if he was walking among us today, he would be with the poorest of poor. He would be with the sinners. He would be embracing all people of all types. We don't quite know how to handle that, do we? It's hard for us to handle people who are different from us. It's okay. Our God teaches us how to love others, how to walk with others. Recently, a professional born-again basketball player was quoted in saying that the Jews have the blood of Jesus on their hands. He had just come to Christ. He was so excited. He wanted to stand up for Jesus. And he said it was the Jews that had him crucified. When in reality, it was the crowd. It was the people. They were Jewish. That's who Jesus was. They cried out for Barabbas, not for Christ Jesus. They didn't know how to handle him because he turned their world upside down. He changed their order of service all around. We don't like change. He made things different. He said, I did not come to abolish the law. The law, that mother's Bible, the law of God. I did not come to abolish it, but to fulfill it. In other words, I came to teach you how to live it out. Y'all don't really know what it's saying. I came to be the living word, to teach you how to love, how to accept, how to believe, how to trust in the midst of worry. It is inevitable that someone would have killed Jesus. But back to the story. Jesus tries to get away for a quick walk, but several people block his path on the side doors. I can't imagine the intensity that he went through in ministry with people coming at him all the time, needing to be healed, needing for his touch, needing to hear the stories. He was constantly surrounded by people, and there were times that he did what I hope we take note of. He got away for a few minutes with the Father in prayer. How many of you have a ritual that allows you a few minutes every day to get alone with your Father in prayer? If you don't, I highly suggest that you develop one, even if it's only for a few minutes. Slide 7. How long will you keep us in suspense, they asked. If you are truly the Messiah, tell us plainly. Quit with these parables. Quit with these riddles. We don't understand. In other words, if you are here to liberate us like Judas Maccabees once did, then stop speaking in riddles and cut to the chase. Jesus turns and looks at his accusers, and he gives them two answers. 8. Both, in my opinion, seem infuriatingly invasive. I've already told you once who I am, and if I tell you again, nobody will believe me anyway. And the second one is, you don't believe me because you're not one of my sheep. There is a school of scholars that have raised their hands up in exasperation at this point when trying to decide what this means. But he's saying, you can't possibly hear me unless you have a relationship with me. You can read the word. You can read dry words on a paper. But you can't understand it in your heart unless you have a one-on-one relationship with the living Lord Jesus. And then our Lord makes the audacious claim that got him in so much trouble. The Father and I are one. And while that was just too much for the people to claim to be on par, to be equal with God, well, that was blasphemy. That was it. They were looking for an excuse anyway. That was it. Time to get rid of this prophet. Today, I look closely at the second answer of Jesus. You do not believe me because you are not my sheep. And I especially want to look at his answer, not from a historical reality, but from the perspective of American theological minds. Another way of stating Jesus' answer is to say that our ability to grasp the truth that Jesus was pointing out from us depends on whether or not we are in a flock. Beloved, it is so much more important than you realize to be part of a flock, especially in these days. You can admit you're a sinner. You can acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Lord, and that you are in need of forgiveness, and you'll be saved. You'll go to heaven. But to live your life out the way that Jesus wants us to live, to treat others the way that Jesus wants us to have peace in your life, you not only need a one-on-one relationship with God, but you need to be part of a shepherding, protecting flock. A flock that will raise you up. A flock that will be there for you, no matter your similarities or your differences. A flock that will pray for you and hold you up. How many know that this flock right here holds us up in prayer? You all have done a mighty work of healing in my life, and I am so grateful for that. And I have seen you do it in one another's life. This statement presents somewhat of a problem for modern people in that so many modern seekers are not really sure that they want to be part of a flock, part of a church, part of organized religion, or whatever you call it. Some people prefer to learn from a college textbook. Some people prefer to watch a show on TV. They're not sure. There's a study that was put out about 10 years ago. We love Jesus. We hate the church. People worry. You know what? People say that people who go to church are hypocrites. I remember growing up with that. Now I say, what better place for us in the church all together? What better place for us to change, to refine our lives, to become who we are supposed to be, surrounded by people who love us and will see us through the changes in our lives. People have crafted their own religions. There are people who say there is no hell. God is all love. God is love. But God is also Judas. There are people who take a little bit out of the smorgasbord. Little bit of Buddhism here. Little bit of Judaism here. Little bit of confusion here. And they create their own religion. The problem with that is it is man-made and sure to fail. This Bible is God-breathed, Spirit-inspired, used for instruction, used for teaching, used for correction personally. That's Psalm 23. When they talk about that rod and that staff, when you really know what it means and it's changed your life, you'll be grateful for it. That crook on that staff, it grabs a sheep and it pulls them back so that they don't go over the side of the cliff. The bottom end of that staff is used to correct the sheep in the ways that he goes. I need a whole lot of correction. I need a whole lot of direction. And I get that from the living God, from how he speaks to my spirit, from the word of God, because he will never go against his own word, and from the wisdom and love of a flock who surrounds me, who protects me, who prays for me, who gently tells me when something isn't quite right in my life. What I'm saying is that Jesus makes this rather strange claim today, and he cannot be understood in this fashion unless you truly know him. You do not believe. He told them who he was, and yet they didn't believe it. You do not believe. You cannot hear my voice unless you are part of my flock. 9. No, you learn about my truth by becoming a part of a people, by becoming a part of a flock. It's tricky. It's almost impossible to convince someone of this. It's as if Jesus is walking around with a sign on his neck that says, "Disciples wanted, believe to follow." We make the decision to follow God. Our belief, our faith, and our trust comes as we follow him. Apparently, according to Jesus, we do not talk ourselves into belief, and we do not will ourselves into faith. We practice ourselves into belief. This frankly goes against everything that we have been taught. Usually we are taught, we think, we study, we reflect, then we act. Jesus is saying opposite. Live out this word. Live out the principles that he has spoken to us, and then we will believe. Living them out in community is beyond a blessing. Healing happens in community. Learning happens in community. Strength and courage come from being a part of community. Time out for this clarification. I am not talking about church membership here. If you want to join, that's wonderful. I'm talking about being part of a family that's going to be there for you when the chips are down. Being part of a family that's going to pray for you before surgery. Being part of a group of people that you can reach out to through the day. Send a text out and say, "I'm having a terrible day. I need some prayer here." Being part of a flock. A sheep is a person who sticks with the flock and listens to the other sheep for a voice of Jesus. A person who trusts that Jesus will lead and guide the flock. Church membership can often degenerate into religious individualism, every bit as pronounced as a secular homemade religion. I remember thinking, I can't walk in the church. The building's going to collapse on me. They're going to judge me. They're not going to understand me. But the more and more I get to know you guys, the more and more I depend upon you, the more I depend upon your prayers and your guidance. I learn so much from all of you in Sunday school. I learn from you during community studies. Christians were once taught that worship was preeminently their opportunity to be fed but it was rarely recognized that just being fed, just coming in and plopping yourself in the pew and being entertained every Sunday is infantile. That's baby. That's milk. Being in the Word, being part of a church, being part of service, being part of study, these things bring about maturity and bring about meat. You do not believe, Jesus said candidly, because you do not belong to part of my sheep. I suppose this could be true of people, both inside and outside of the church, as we know it in America. I love Bishop Mike. He always said, Christianity is not a spectator sport. You don't sit and watch from the outside. You get to be part of it. I see it enacted in this church every day. I see it enacted in the alley with the people who come there and truly live Christ out, serving the least of these, feeding the sheep. The words of Jesus present a dilemma for modern day people who are used to figuring out the truth for themselves. A real challenge for a congregation that is serious about evangelism, serious about sharing the Word of God with other people. Can't you see the truth? The evangelist shouts on the street corner, in the church, in the soup kitchens. If I'm reading Jesus correctly today, this is not the way evangelism is to be done in our century or any other century. It is not just a person who won't believe that we need to worship with and pray for. It is each and every one of us that need to be part of that. To become a disciple is not a matter of new or changed self-understanding, but rather to become a part of a Bible-believing community with a different set of practices. In short, we do not believe in God. We do not become humble and then learn to pray. But in learning to pray, we become humble. We discover that we cannot do this on our own, that we need others to walk alongside of us. What if the same were true today as what was with the disciples of old? What if we truly believed in the Apostles' Creed? What if we truly believed in meeting the needs of those who have nothing? In Jesus Christ, we have found the one who is one with the Father, one with God. So we invite newcomers. We invite those who question the faith. We help them wrestle with the faith. But more than anything, being part of a flock like this one will help one another into the arms of Jesus and will strengthen your own trust, not only in God, but in mankind as well. Nowadays, when we have mass shootings, nowadays, when we have confused children who want to blow up the high school because they're hurting so bad, thank God that young man decided that he would go into the library rather than bombing the high school. But still yet, there are scars left forever on those people, and our community has been rattled. It hit home. It hit here. It hit in our backyard. The drug problem, we think we don't have much. We're a little tiny town, Seymour. We have a huge problem. The homelessness problem. We have a big problem, and each and every one of us need to understand that either ourselves or someone else could be right there. I don't have a savings account. I'm only a few paychecks. And the church pulling the parsonage away from being homeless. And there are a whole lot of people like that today. We are called to be the flock. Not only does this change the way that we believe, but it gives us a place of believing and belonging.